Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. Okay, verse 39, page 55. We were converted into devotees of Lord Chaitanya. All were converted into devotees of Lord Chaitanya, even the mlechas and yavanas. Only the impersonalist followers of Shankara evaded him. Srila Prabhupada. In this verse it is clearly indicated that although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted Muslims and other mlechas into devotees, the impersonalist followers of Shankaracharya could not be converted. After accepting the renounced grace, because that's the advantage, they're theistic. Right? So it's easier to convert. You know? So that's the difficulty. But the impersonalists, because they're attached to the non-personal feature, then they just can't take it up because they can't understand it as spiritual. The others don't have an idea. So when it's explained to them, then they can understand it. But the Shankarites, then because they already have a set idea, they can't actually understand beyond that. They don't have devotion. They think they're very intelligent. They're already partly following the culture, so that aspect of goodness, they think they're doing fine. After accepting the renounced order of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted many karmanishtas who were addicted to fruitive activities. Many great logicians like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Nindakas, blasphemers like Prakashananda Saraswati, Pashandis, non-devotees like Jagai and Madhai, and Adhama Paduya's degraded students like Mukunda and his friends. All of them gradually became devotees of the Lord. Even the Pathans, Muslims, but the worst offenders, the impersonalists, were extremely difficult to convert, for they very tactfully escaped the devices of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In describing the Kashira Mayavadis, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained that persons who are bewildered by empiric knowledge or direct sensual perception, and who thus consider that even this limited material world can be gauged by their material estimations, conclude that anything that one can discern by direct perception is but maya or illusion. Right? So they're saying, I can understand everything by my intelligence, but whatever I can understand, it's all illusion. So what can you do with such people? You know, because from either way, because anything you say, oh, it's all illusion. But when you're trying to explain, well, I don't understand it, so it must not be real because I'm so intelligent, I can understand anything. Right? Yeah. So it's just, they don't want to know.
Is the Kashir Mayavadis are some another category?
Seems to be. Because Kashi means the Varanasi Mayavadis. They maintain that although the absolute truth is beyond the range of sense perception, it includes no spiritual variety or enjoyment. Right? It's beyond what they can perceive, but they've already concluded that it can't have any variety. But if they can't perceive it, why are they making points? Right? According to Kashira Mayavadis, the spiritual world is simply void. They do not believe in the personality of the absolute truth or in his varieties of activities in the spiritual world. Although they have their own arguments, which are not very strong, they have no conception of the variegated activities of the absolute truth. Right? So there's no conception, there's nothing to build on. Because their whole basis is that whatever is here that has form and experience and that is illusion. So therefore, then their idea is you can't have spiritual variety. So they don't have anything to go from. There's nothing you can compare it to. Does that make sense? So because of that, then how do you introduce them to Krishna consciousness? Because they don't have any position to go from. They don't have anything to start from. You have to be able to talk about something that they can relate to. And since they can't relate to any of this, then there's nothing you can do for them. Now he says, although they have their own arguments, which are not very strong, they have no conception of the variegated activities of the Absolute Truth. These impersonalists, who are followers of Shankaracharya, are generally known as Kashira Mayavadis, impersonalists residing in Varanasi. Near Varanasi, there is another group of impersonalists, who are known as Sharanata Mayavadis. Outside the city of Varanasi is a place known as Sharanata, where there is a big Buddhist stupa. Many followers of Buddhist philosophy live there, and they are known as Sharanata Mayavadis. The impersonalists of Sharanath differ from those of Varanasi, for the Varanasi impersonalists propagate the idea that the impersonal Brahman is truth, whereas material varieties are false. But the Sharanatha impersonalists do not even believe that the absolute truth of Brahman can be understood as the opposite of Maya or illusion. According to their vision, materialism is the only manifestation of the absolute truth. But, so you see, you get so many varieties here, is that you can't understand what's beyond like that.
I kind of always thought that Mayavadis, they are not materialist in a gross sense.
No, but they're saying that's the only manifestation that you can see, so somehow or another it's connected. But at the same time, they don't believe there's an absolute truth or Brahman that can be understood. So you know, saying, they're all varieties of all of them. It's just that each has its own uniqueness. It's just like, let's say, if you go from cook to cook, right? Each one is different and each one is unique and has a different angle on how they combine things and do things and all that. So it's just that you end up with all these interesting fusion stuff. But unfortunately, it's not very tasty. So that's the difficulty, is that you're going to end up with these. So then, therefore, you have these Kashira Mayavadis. They're going to say that one thing. Then you have these Sharanatha Mayavadis. So it's just, you're going to have all these different groups, and they all have their own philosophy.
Why is Sharanatha Mayavadis, they are not the Buddhists? Are they
different from the Buddhists? Even if they are, they're still Mayavadis, because it's all illusion. Because Mayavadi means the material world is illusion, and that's all it is. It doesn't have any connection with the Supreme. Just whatever you can perceive, it's all Maya. But the point is you can also, by the Lord's grace, perceive the Lord. So for them, they'll consider that illusion. Right? So that's the difficulty. How do they move forward in spiritual understanding? Because their idea is, if you can perceive it, it's illusion, because Brahman you can't perceive. So they're saying here is that absolute truth, Brahman, can be understood as the opposite of Maya or illusion. Do not even believe that the absolute truth can be understood as the opposite of Maya or illusion. Right? They don't even think that that's there. So it gets into a funny position here. You don't just take it as the opposite, but at the same time, materialism is the only manifestation.
Yes.
But there's still, you know, Mayavadi. So, you know, yes. Factually, both the Kashira and the Sharanatha Mayavadis, as well as any other philosophers who have no knowledge of the spirit soul, are advocates of utter materialism. Right? They're all materialists, like that. So all of their philosophies will end in materialism. That's the fun part, is that they're trying to present themselves as something beyond, as transcendentalists. But their only perception, their only thing that they deal with is the illusion. You know. So they're only going to bring about materialism. That's an important thing to note, is that all these philosophies, Buddhism and the Mayavada and that, they'll result in gross materialism. Because then if there's nothing there, there's no rules and all that on these things, then it doesn't matter, and so then people can do whatever they want.
What is about the Tattvavadis?
That I'm not so much clear on them, just that they have a funny understanding. When the philosophy says that there's different grades of souls, it means their consciousness. There's those who are liberated, there are those who are conditioned, and then those who are fortunate who have taken up the path of devotion. But they've interpreted this as their souls that are actually in goodness, in passion, and in ignorance. But if that's there, then that means the soul has to be produced from the material energy, you know, for them to be like that. So we generally don't have much to do with the Tattvavadis. Lord Chaitanya avoided them.
I heard that they believe that even everything is, although everything is Maya, but this Maya has real consequences.
But real in the consideration of what? If it's all Maya, okay, but consequences on what? If you say it's real...
On the action of the conditioned soul.
Yeah, but what do you mean by real? It means you drop a brick on your foot, you feel it.
Well...
You know, so yes, but what has that got to do... How is the soul benefited? You know, what's the importance of their... It's real or not real? How is the soul going to be benefited?
No, the soul gets more and more entangled by their own action.
Yeah, so then how does the soul get out of this?
And that is real. That is something...
So what, it's real? How does he get out of it? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, yes, he's in the ocean. You can go, he's in the ocean. He's really in the ocean. Oh, he's 1,000 miles out in the ocean. He's right out in the center of the ocean. What does it matter? How does he get out? You know what I'm saying? Because this whole thing is, you know, you could be, you know, 10 feet out in the ocean and drown. You don't have to be, you know, hundreds of miles. It's a point of how do you get out. So, yes, it's real consequence. But real on what? If you're considering the body is real, then yes, it has real consequences. But as far as the consequences connected to the soul, it's just the soul is identifying, so he becomes illusioned by it. But it doesn't mean that it has any effect, means it has any lasting effect on the soul. It's only his consciousness is bewildered.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole point is they're putting too much emphasis, that's all. You know, you can say, yes, you know, it's like the, you know, everyone is damned, you're all going to hell, you know, sinners, you know, repent, you know, so what's the process of repenting? You know, they put too much emphasis on the negative. Why not, you know, what's the positive aspect that's connecting to Krishna? If you do that, it doesn't matter how real or how entangled they are. It works. You get out.
Same type of philosophy in Greek philosophy called agnosticism. Nowadays, agnosticism means not possible to understand anything. And nowadays, it's most popular philosophy in young generations. According to social investigation, when we ask every teenager what is your faith or ideology, they say I'm agnostic. I believe that it's not possible to understand anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that it's not possible to understand, but does that mean that no one can understand? Means if you can't understand, that's fine. Or if you're not interested to understand, that's fine. But don't say that no one else can understand. Because otherwise, then, if the world is running because of their perception, then, what was the world doing before they came along? You know, what was the world doing before they came a teenager? You know, how did it even function? You know, because now that they're a teenager and they have a view on life and that's actually the way it is, you know, it's like finally, okay, now the world can be, you know, put into correct, you know, they, you know, brought back to the proper thing and, you know, everything, because now they are thinking like this. You know? The problem is these philosophies are always there. They're nothing's new. it's attributed. All I can say is that the Kashira Mayavadis, but the points that they make, they're just standard points. Everybody is taking from the collection of standard points. It's just what they want to do. Like, let's say you want to make a salad. Okay, what will you put in the salad? Or you won't make salad. Okay. Yeah. Salad? What's that? Cucumbers, okay? Okay, so cucumbers in the salad. Anything else? Huh? Tomatoes. Tomatoes and cucumbers. Okay. You know, so that'll make a nice salad. A lot of people do that. Okay. If you're making a salad, what will you put?
Something more.
Something more.
Can say lettuce.
Yeah, some lettuce, okay.
Lettuce, and after, yes, some dried fruits.
Some dried fruits.
Yogurt sometimes. Hmm? Yogurt.
Yogurt. Yeah, you understand? And if you're making, how will you make?
Olives.
Olives, okay. You understand? So there's a list of probably 100 items that you could put in a salad, right? And they're standard salad stuff. And depending upon the individual, depending upon the facility, depending upon the locale, their own interests, they'll put it together in different ways. And on, you know, every time they may make variety. Does that make sense? So it's like that, is that philosophy has standard points. Because you're dealing with Chit Achit Ishwara. Right? And so that's all there is. And so now it's just a matter of, do they have a proper understanding or an improper understanding? Or some of it's proper, some of it's improper. And because it has all these varieties, that someone will be proper in one area and off in another, and the next group will be just the opposite. It doesn't make them any better, it's just that they're differently wrong. Does that make sense? So the thing is if you understand the techniques on which the philosophy is made, all the elements, then you just deal with the elements as they come along. You don't have to know the philosophy to deal with it. Does that make sense? Because they'll come up with that particular thing, but that's already there. All the six schools of Vedic philosophy are called agnostic. Right? Like that. Buddhism is called atheism. You know, and the Mayavadi, that becomes atheistic. It's ultimate. But it's agnostic in that it accepts the Vedas. Okay. So it's just a matter of, one appreciates these different things, you don't have to know, like that spiritual dialecticism. Then the devotees, you know, they studied to some degree, and as much as they understood, they presented to Prabhupada these different world, you know, philosophies and things like that. And so then Prabhupada, based on what they said, he would give an answer. Right, so some will say, oh, but that's not purely Socrates or Aristotle or this or that. It doesn't matter. It's just, these are the points. They're borrowing anyway from the modes of nature. You know, why it means we'll call it that just because it becomes easy. But it's like the Kashira Mayavadi, this philosophy or elements of it, they've always been around. It's just you put it together in this particular way, you call it Kashira. Does that make sense? Yeah, you know, because like we said, you go to any one place and they put it together differently. You know, and each one will say, "No, this is it," but it's all the same elements. You don't have outside of that. You know, no one puts rocks in salad. If you're a chicken, yes, but if you're not a chicken, you won't put rocks in salad. Or if you're in the Indian subcontinent, and you're selling wholesale rice, you know, then you collect rocks to put in there. No, that's it. It's like 100, the standard before, I don't know now, out of 100 kilo sack, 3 kilos, two to three, generally three will be rocks. You know? And so people won't really notice. So it's not a lot, but you know, if you're wholesaling, you know, 1,000 sacks, that's 3,000 kilos of rice. So you make, you know, decent profit. Plus, then how much you sold it for. Right. So, and there are guys that manufacture those rocks. They're not just any old rocks. Yeah. No, so it's a whole business. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is we don't have to get into somebody's philosophy so much. It's just whatever is being presented, we deal with that. Because it's standard stuff. They're thinking that, oh, they're so unique and they thought this up, and or, you know, whoever is the head of their line and they come up with this. No, the modes of nature just deliver it. You have certain modes. You say something, it means something to you. You know, it's like, what do you call it? What are those called? Those ink blots?
Rorschach test.
War?
Rorschach
test. Rorschach, you know, the ink blots? No? Nobody's had to deal with them? Okay, good. No one's been to the...
I mean, I don't know what they are.
No, but before it was always talked about. There's somehow or another psychologists, they still use them? They have this set of ink blots. And then they show it to people. What comes to mind when you see this? You know, they'll say, "Well, I see a purple." Huh?
They still do.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know the name.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're just some ink blots. So.
Named after the scientist Rorschach
that came up with that. Yeah, and then it's like, "Well, I see a pink uniform, you know, flying, you know, with doves." You know, and then they'll go, "Okay, you're really crazy." You know, stuff like that. What happens if you tell them, "I see a bunch of ink on a paper"? And then what do they say? They probably say, "Excuse me 1 minute, get up and go and call someone."
That philosophy that Mataji was talking about that's so popular that no one can know for sure. It's a self-defeating philosophy, because if no one can know for sure, then you can't be sure that no one
knows for sure. Yes, yes. They're convinced that no one can know. It's just like that. What was his name? Ram Dass. Mm-hmm. He was saying that, you know, what was it? There is no absolute truth. But his statement that there's no absolute truth was absolute.
Right.
It was an absolutism.
Right.
So they always come up with these things. It's always, it's just, you take something and you gotta, you know.
According to his own philosophy, there can be truth, because he's saying 100% you can't know, which means I don't know, which means my statement was just completely false, 100% false.
Yeah.
Which means 100% you can know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. They'll be saying, "What?"
Yeah.
Okay. Factually, both the Kashira and the Ishadanata Mayavadis, as well as any other philosophers who have no knowledge of the spirit soul, are advocates of utter materialism. None of them have clear knowledge regarding the absolute or the spiritual world. Philosophers like the Shadanatha Mayavadis, who do not believe in the spiritual existence of the absolute truth, but consider material varieties to be everything, do not believe that there are two kinds of nature, inferior material and spiritual, and superior spiritual, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, neither the Varanasi or Shadanatha Mayavadis accept the principles of the Bhagavad Gita, due to a poor fund of knowledge. So they'll study Gita and everything and talk about Gita, but they don't actually understand Gita. But so the principles of bhakti and that Krishna is explaining, they don't accept. Since these impersonalists who do not have perfect spiritual knowledge cannot understand the principles of bhakti yoga, they must be classified among the non-devotees who are against the Krishna consciousness movement. We sometimes feel inconvenienced by the hindrances offered by these impersonalists, but we do not care about their so-called philosophy, for we are propagating our own philosophy as presented in Bhagavad Gita as it is, and getting successful results. Theorizing as if devotional service were subject to the mental speculation, both kinds of Mayavadi impersonalists conclude that the subject matter of bhakti yoga is the creation of Maya, and that Krishna, devotional service, and the devotee are also Maya. Right? But by that, they're also Maya, so then why we should listen to them? Therefore, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. All the Mayavadis are offenders to Lord Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 17:129. It is not possible for them to understand the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, we do not value their philosophical conclusions. However, however expert such quarrelsome impersonalists are in putting forward their so-called logic, we defeat them in every respect and go forward with our Krishna consciousness movement. Their imaginative, speculative, mental speculation cannot deter the progress of the Krishna consciousness movement, which is completely spiritual and is never under the control of such mayavadis. Because they think that because they that they can contemplate what you're saying, it's actually up for how you say validation or not. Does that make sense? The impersonalist or any speculator, when they come across, they'll come and want to discuss philosophy, and so they'll ask the devotees questions in that, and they're thinking because now I am speculating on your philosophy. I am now vetting whether your philosophy is bona fide or not, depending upon how much I appreciate it or not, or understand it or not. But since when do they become the authority for that? That's where Christ said, we don't care. We do not value their philosophical conclusions. It doesn't, we've heard from authority, so that they can speculate, whoopee, everybody speculates. You know, it's like that. You know, the guys down at the pub, they're speculating on what the government should have done. I can guarantee if you go to England right now, like that, go down to any of the pubs, go pub to pub. You know, you could spend, you know, years, you know, there's so many pubs. And go and ask them, so, you know, what's your opinion on this Brexit? And they'll each have a way that it's so perfectly and easily works out. You know, all these idiots in the parliament, you know, you just have to do this, or you just have to do that, or, you know. And that's like that. They can't work out their own life. That's why they're at the pub. But somehow or another, they can just say what should be done. Or, if, you know, the only other thing they'll be there, if not the sports come on, you know, and what do you call it? Arsenal and what's the other one?
Liverpool.
Yes. Very good. Yes. Their team. Then they'll be telling, oh, he should have done this, and that guy should have done that. That guy's an idiot, right? The guy's an idiot, but he's making £1,000, you know, a year. How much are you making? Who's the idiot here? He kicks the ball around, and he gets paid for it. You know? You know, so that's the whole. Yeah.
I saw that investment countries, people accept this philosophy of mysticism because they don't have explanation of Pramana Tattva, and they know only about inductive method and don't know about deductive.
Yes.
But if in Vedic culture everyone knows about deductive method and everyone accepts Sampradaya principle, Shabda Pramana, the points of Shabda Pramana, how is it possible that this philosophy can exist that not possible to understand?
Because they're not devotional. So they're accepting that it's coming down from the Shastra, but their interpretation of what comes down then will be purely inductive. So it's still going to go back to their speculation is what validates something or not. Does that make sense? They still speculate about how you apply. Where does it go? Do they take it the creation? Do they take things all the way up to the Supreme Lord, or do they stop at Pradhan? So they all stop at Pradhan, so they don't get to the Lord.
That means that they don't know how we study in Vaishnava Sampradaya.
No, not at all.
Which must be accepted from four Sampradayas.
Yes.
They don't know about it.
No. Even if they do read it, they won't understand it because they're not accepting from the Sampradaya. You have to understand is that it's not by logic you understand, it's by Krishna revealing it. That's how you understand. You said something wrong? They're saying, so it's not by your speculative methods. What? I'm out of here. And so no one understands what we're talking about. They cannot relate. Oh, he can't translate.
Too fast.
Too fast. Okay.
I think it's not easy to translate that.
That's also there.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the Krishnakasha movement, which is completely spiritual. It's never under the control of such Mayavadis. Even if they say, oh, this is this and that is that, it has nothing to do with it. Individuals, groups of individuals, you know, societies, you know, how you say, councils, boards, administration, it doesn't matter. Krishna consciousness is Krishna consciousness. It's coming from Krishna. It will go on. Like that. Some of it. Yes.
I'm just trying to put together what separates these groups from the those of like these Nindakas and the Karmis.
They're all the same thing. It's just a little bit of a this way or that way.
You know, but they like, got the mercy and they like.
No, it means the ones that surrendered, they got the mercy. It's just showing that they came from these different groups.
Okay.
Like, it's not that the blasphemers can't be non-devotees, you know, or degraded students. You know, it's just like, how you say? So, you can have any combination, but the point is these are the mentalities that are there. Some sense. So he's given examples how Lord Chaitanya dealt with everybody and how all of them became devotees. But the point is the impersonalists, they're the ones that are the problem. Because they don't believe that the Lord has a form. You know, the spiritual. So it becomes a problem. Like the Muslims, they'll say God's a person. Right? No?
Yes.
He's a person, but he won't have a form. Yes. So, you know, it's a bit of a mix, but at least there's the concept that he, you know, he's a person.
Yes.
So then you can discuss something. And then from that context, then you can move it forward. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But the impersonalist, there's nothing you can start from, because it's all illusion. Anything you want to work with is illusion. So what can you do? Where's the context that you can show them something about Krishna consciousness? So yeah.
It also looks like that they're actually all the faults. They are Pashandis, they are Nindakas. Like,
yeah, it means all the faults, basically you could group into these four. Like that.
But like this Mayavadis, they have all of them.
Yeah. They could be have all of them. Verses 40 to 159. Lord Chaitanya converts the Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi. While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is passing through Varanasi on his way to Vrindavan, the Mayavadi sannyasi philosophers blasphemed against him in many ways, so that's why they're nindakas. Because that's the aspect that is coming up. Not that on another day they couldn't be one of the other ones. But at least today, they're nindakas, so. The blasphemer said, although a sannyasi, he does not take interest in the study of Vedanta, but instead always engages in chanting and dancing in Sankirtana. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an illiterate sannyasi and therefore does not know his real function. The idea is that you're literate, so then you're very academic, and that sitting around discussing these technical points of philosophy, that's what makes you, that's your claim to fame. That's what makes you the sannyasi. Like that. Guided only by his sentiments, he wanders about in the company of other sentimentalists. Right, so they're nindakas here, but at the same time is that he does not take any interest in the study of Vedanta, right? So he's not interested in the dry speculative method. So he was only engaging in chanting and dancing, you know, the holy name. So he doesn't know his material function on the platform of Dharmartha Kama and Moksha, right? He only knows it on the transcendental position. And guided only by his sentiments, because when you're dealing in pure love of God, you just follow that path of love. It's not based on the rules and knowledge like that. And he's only, he wanders around in the company of other such sentimentalists. You know, others who are following this path of Rag.
It's a nice thing to say.
Yeah, like that.
Good company.
Srila Prabhupada. Fortunately or unfortunately, we also meet such Mayavadis who criticize our method of chanting and accuse us of not being interested in study. Right? Because they can't sit down and have an inspiring speculative discussion. Like I remember discussing with one academic, and that one wasn't an academic. They were just somebody who was really into philosophy and loved speculating. And he made a point. And then I said something that, you know, you could see that he didn't have a strong position from that. He took another point without answering. So I said, no, what about this point? And then he said, oh, he started to talk in this other thing. I said, no, you have to answer this point. You know, why should we go on to another? He got so upset. Why are you insisting we stick to this one point? Because his thing was, you know, we're discussing, we move around, we float around in the ocean of speculation. That was the whole thing, you know, moved by the breezes of our intellect. And so like that. And so it was frustrating to him because he wasn't looking for a conclusion. He just wanted to speculate. You know, so that's the point, is that they don't find it's nice, because if they talk to us, then they don't get any joy out of it. Because it's not speculation, it's conclusion. So they'll say it's sentiment. Right? Because as soon as you have conclusion, it's sentiment. You know, just like, let's say, if you have conclusion in the modern academy, it's not the academic method. Right? Because the academic method means you can continue speculating with this. And all you can do is acknowledge that this angle that they're taking gives, you know, the best quality of speculation. Right? Unless someone can come up and show how some other aspect takes the speculation. So then it will become a renowned philosophy for some time. Right? Because it brings about really good quality speculation. But if you say there's a conclusion, that means speculation is over. That means the whole academy actually has no value anymore. You know, because so then it's just not allowed. It's against the rules. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the biggest faux pas you can do, is to bring about a conclusion. These other ones are there by giving your opinion that's not backed up by anything, you know, contemporary that they're into. So, but if you give a conclusion, no, this is the absolute truth. That's it. It's totally against the academy. Right? Because you can't speculate. So that's the point. Speculators' taste is in speculating, because they don't have anything mundane. They don't have money, position, authority, and all this. So all they have is the taste of speculating. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, okay. We also meet, fortunately or unfortunately, we also meet such Mayavadis who criticize our method of chanting and accuse us of not being interested in study. They do not know that we have translated volumes and volumes of books into English, and that the students in our temples regularly study them in the morning, afternoon, and evening. We are writing and printing books, and our students study them and distribute them all over the world. No Mayavadi school can present as many books as we have, right? They just don't have. Nevertheless, they accuse us of not being fond of study. Right? Such accusations are completely false. But although we study, we do not study the nonsense of the Mayavadis. Mayavadi sannyasis neither chant nor dance. The technical objection is that this method of chanting and dancing is called Tor Yantrika, which indicates that a sannyasi should completely avoid such activities and engage his time in study of Vedanta. So you see, a little of that comes through is that, you know, those who can maintain, you know, maintain human life, birth, but then they come outside of the Vedic purview, that many of the philosophies or religious systems, they have this sense in them that there's no music, there's no instruments, there's no singing, there's no dancing. So many of them have that kind of a concept. So it'll be coming from the same thing, this Tara Yantra. So it's just, you know, what, it's just a little bit left over fuzzily in the back of their head from previous lives. So. Yes, many of the Protestant groups don't have. It's just somehow they're considered totally against. I think that, I'm not sure. Mormons, I think, avoid it. The Shakers, I think, definitely, didn't they? They avoid it. There's a lot of them. It's, I think the Amish, they avoid. But I'm not sure. It's just that you have these different things that it's mundane. It's just for enjoyment. They don't know about you. You sing and dance to God, so... So it is something that comes, just like they're making this mistake because they don't know spiritual activity. So the others, as they're doing what's here is pious, but they don't know really what spiritual activity is. So they don't know how to bridge that. So. Actually, such men... Actually, such men do not understand what is meant by Vedanta. Right? So they're saying that you must study. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says, Vaidais cha sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Right? So, yeah. Lord Krishna is the actual compiler of Vedanta. And whatever he speaks is Vedanta philosophy. So if he's the one that's giving the Veda and he knows, then the problem is then Brahman being covered by knowledge then takes on this aspect of this mundane goodness, you know, without passion, ignorance. And so then they'll be saying that that's still within the aspect of illusion. But then the problem is that the source of the Vedanta that they study comes from, in their opinion, that person.
Yes.
So then, technically, they're a follower of Krishna.
Yes.
But at the same time, is that they, you know, yeah. You say that, they might get very agitated. You know, because they value the Vedanta. By that, they'll understand Brahman. But that's come from this person. So then, you know, so that's why Prabhupada said before, they don't actually understand Gita. Like that.
Sadhan that they practice? Is it only studying Vedanta?
I mean, they'll take their baths and you know, like that, and be renounced, and, you know, probably the thing of begging, this and that, whatever's a few basic. There's not a whole lot. It's about half a page of rules. Like that. And then they just spend their time studying the philosophy, discussing the philosophy. You know, it keeps them out of, you know, doing nonsense. But it doesn't act. It means out of how you say nonsense in the way of karma, but it doesn't keep them out of nonsense in the way of philosophy. So. Lord Krishna is the actual compiler of Vedanta, and whatever he speaks is Vedanta philosophy. Although they are lacking the knowledge of Vedanta presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mayavadis are very proud of their study. Foreseeing the bad effects of their presenting Vedanta philosophy in a perverted way, Srila Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam as a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Srimad Bhagavatam is Basyo Yam Brahma Sutranam. In other words, all the Vedanta philosophy in the aphorisms of the Brahma Sutra is thoroughly described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. As you see, is that the Vedanta Sutra will discuss on a point that's there in the Upanishads, but they'll just be discussing that point. So they'll just take those aspects that they like of the sutras, right? Because as we see, is just as in the Upanishad, let's say in a chapter, let's say it opens with the personal aspect, and then in the middle it's discussing the part about Brahman and things like this, and then at the end it'll be discussing the personal. The Mayavadis will only take those verses that they can interpret as impersonal. Right? So they don't take the whole chapter. The same way as with the Vedanta Sutra, they only take those sutras that they can use in the impersonal way. So when Veda Vyas defeats their philosophy, those are the ones they leave. And they only take the other ones. So, you know, so if you say, but he says here, no, but over here he says this, you know, they won't actually discuss. All the Vedanta Sutra philosophy and the aphorism of the Brahma Sutra is thoroughly described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, the factual propounder of Vedanta philosophy is a Krishna-conscious person who always engages in reading and understanding the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and teaching the purport of these books to the entire world. The Mayavadis are very proud of having monopolized the Vedanta philosophy, but devotees have their own commentaries on Vedanta, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and others written by the Acharyas. The commentary of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the Govinda Bhashya. Hey, so they'll think that they are the Vedantists, something like that. It's like all Vaishnav schools are Vedantists, like that. The Mayavadis' accusation that devotees do not study Vedanta is false. The Mayavadis do not know that chanting, dancing, and preaching the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, called Bhagavad Dharma, are the same as studying Vedanta. Since they think that reading Vedanta philosophy is the only function of a sannyasi, they do not find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in such direct study. They criticize the Lord. So that's the thing. That would be just like, let's say, they sit around and study recipes, but they never cook. Right? So Lord Chaitanya is cooking, and they're criticizing why he's not studying. You know, doesn't he know what sannyasa is for? He's supposed to sit down and study recipes. So that's what's happening. Because the point is the recipes explain how you should serve the Lord, how you cook. Right? That's the whole thing that they're explaining. Hearing all this blasphemy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merely smiled to himself, rejected all these accusations, and did not talk with the Mayavadis. Thus, neglecting the blasphemy of the Varanasi Mayavadis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded to Mathura. And after visiting Mathura, he returned to meet the situation. You know, he's going to Vrindavan. Why ruin it? You know, something. Srila Prabhupada. As Krishna-conscious devotees, we do not like to converse with Mayavadi philosophers simply to waste valuable time. But whenever there is an opportunity, we impress our philosophy upon them with great vigor and success. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not talk with the Mayavadi philosophers when he first visited Varanasi, but he returned there from Mathura to convince them of the real purport of Vedanta. You know, let the Agyata Sukriti soak in a little bit. This time, Lord Chaitanya stayed at the house of Chandrasekhara. Although he was regarded as a Shudra or Kayastha for the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is completely independent. Right? So, means Shudra, Kayastha means the service they do is that of a Shudra. But the Kayastha is a Dwija who's taking up that work. So that means they're very good at like bureaucratic work or, you know, kind of office things or things like that. Things that require you're doing something for someone else, right? But at the same time, you have the intelligence how to actually get it done, right? Regular Shudra, then he wouldn't know how to write a letter or answer certain things. He just knows that what you give him, he does. The Kayastha knows how to do that. That's why they're actually quite important in the system. Right? So that then he's coming in that class. Oh, here Prabhupada says it. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya stayed at the house of Chandrasekhara, a clerk, like the clerks. Although a sannyasi is not supposed to reside in a Shudra's house, 500 years ago, especially in Bengal, it was the system that persons who were born in the families of Brahmanas were accepted as Brahmanas, and all those who took birth in other families, even the higher caste, namely the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, were considered Shudras, non-Brahmins. So, you know, they had it very simple. There's the Brahmins, and there's everybody else. Therefore, although Sri Chandrasekhara was a clerk from a Kayastha family in Upper India, he was considered a Shudra. Similarly, Vaishyas, especially those of the Suvarnavanic community, were accepted as Shudras in Bengal, and even the Vaidyas, who were generally physicians, were also considered Shudras. Right, so it's just whatever it is, those Brahmins who did rituals, they were Brahmins, and everybody else was Shudras. So even an Ayurvedic doctor, he would be considered a Shudra. This is, you know, so they're just going by what was present amongst the Smarthas in Bengal. Right, so, you know, even in South, they have a little bit wider vision than this. So, you know, when you're dealing with the smartness here, then, yes.
I think later it's explained that the Kayasthas are the ones who, from Bengal, when they wanted to visit Vrindavan, some Brahmins going. So, in between the Bihar, they catch them and use them for their work.
Oh, okay. Oh,
on
their way to
Vrindavan. The Kayasthas caste started like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they are.
Forcefully. Okay. Interesting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, did not accept this artificial principle, which was introduced in society by self-interested men. And later, the Kayasthas, Vaidyas, and Vaniks all began to accept the sacred thread, despite objections from the so-called Brahmins. Before the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Suvarna Vanik class was condemned by Balal Sena, who was then the king of Bengal, due to a personal grudge. Right? So that's what I'm saying. It's all self-interested. In Bengal, the Suvarna Vanik class are always very rich, for they are bankers and dealers in gold and silver. Therefore, Balal Sena used to borrow money from a Suvarna Vanik banker. Balal Sena's bankruptcy later obliged the Suvarna Vanik banker to stop advancing money to him. And thus Balal Sena became angry and condemned the entire Suvarna Vanik society belonging to the Shudra community. He tried to induce the Brahmanas not to accept the Suvarna Vaniks as followers of the instructions of the Vedas under the Brahminical directions. But although some Brahmins approved of Balal Sena's actions, others did not. Thus the Brahmanas also became divided amongst themselves, and those who supported the Suvarna Vanik class were rejected from the Brahmana community. At the present day, the same biases are still being followed. Yes, it just goes on.
Prabhupada belongs to Suvarna Vanik.
Like that. Because that's the point. They're always very rich. And so then everybody. That's the thing, is those who can make the money, everybody wants to work with them as long as they can get benefits. But as soon as they can't get benefits, then they turn against them. Like that. So it's pretty standard. Like that. Next verse. As a matter of principle, Lord Chaitanya regularly accepted his food at the house of Tapan Misra. He never mixed with other sannyasis, nor did he accept invitations from them. Footnote 23. This exemplary behavior of Lord Chaitanya definitely proves that a Vaishnava sannyasi cannot accept invitation from Mayavadi sannyasis or intimately mix with them. Purport to text 46. He never mixed with other sannyasis. Okay. When Sanatana Goswami came from Bengal, he met Lord Chaitanya at the house of Tapan Misra, where Lord Chaitanya remained continuously for 2 months to teach him devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatana Goswami in the line of disciplic succession. Sanatana Goswami was a very learned scholar in Sanskrit and other languages. But until instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not write anything about Vaishnava behavior. His very famous book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, which gives directions for Vaishnava candidates, was written completely in compliance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Sanatana Goswami gives definite instructions that by proper initiation by a bona fide spiritual master, one can immediately become a Brahmana. In this connection, he says, as bell metal is turned to gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana. End quote. Sometimes those born in Brahmin families protest this, but they have no strong arguments against this principle. By the grace of Krishna and his devotee, one's life can change. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by the words Jahati Bandham Shudyanti. Jahati Bandham indicates that a living entity is conditioned by a particular type of body. The body is certainly an impediment, but one who associates with a pure devotee and follows his instructions can avoid this impediment and become a regular Brahmin by initiation under his strict guidance. Srila Jiva Goswami states how a non-Brahmin can be turned into a Brahmana by the association of a pure devotee. Prabha Vishnave Namaha, Lord Vishnu is so powerful that he can do anything he likes. Therefore, it is not difficult for Vishnu to change the body of a devotee who is under the guidance of a pure devotee of the Lord. Right. And then, so, whatever the position, it brings comes to the transcendental position. Some sense. And then one engages that nature in the Lord's service. Yeah, it's interesting. Is that just so? That's to point out is that Hari Bhakti Vilas is in compliance with Lord Chaitanya's instructions. You know, so sometimes you know individuals may somehow or another feel Hari Bhakti Vilas has nothing to do with the devotional process. Then why did Lord Chaitanya talk to Sanatana Goswami for 2 months, and then he documented it? You know, so, yeah. On the basis of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which reveal these confidential directions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami regarding all the regular activities of a devotee, Srila Prabhupada. In the Parampara system, the instructions taken from the bona fide spiritual master must also be based on revealed Vedic scriptures. One who is in the line of disciplic succession cannot manufacture his own way of behavior. So this idea, oh, Prabhupada just, you know, he changed things. No, it's not how it works. There are many so-called followers of the Vaishnava cult in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who do not scrupulously follow the conclusions of the Shastras, and therefore they are considered to be apasampradaya, which means outside of the sampradaya. Some of these groups are known as Aula, Baul, Kartabhaja, Neda, Dharavesha, Sani, Sahajiya, Shakibeki, Smarta, Jata Gosai, Ativadi, Chudahari, and Goranagari. In order to follow strictly the disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should not associate with these Aparasampradaya communities. So they'll identify as followers of the Vedas or followers of Lord Chaitanya. He was saying here, even within the Gaudiya line, like in the cult in the line, there are so many, and so they'll identify within that. But at the same time, as they don't actually properly follow it, it's not about pure devotional service. There'll be some other interest that is there. One who is not taught by a bona fide spiritual master cannot understand the Vedic literature. To emphasize this point, Lord Krishna, while instructing Arjuna, clearly said that it was because Arjuna was his devotee and confidential friend that he could understand the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita. It is to be concluded, therefore, that one who wants to understand the mystery of revealed scriptures must approach a bona fide spiritual master, hear from him very submissively, and render service to him. Then the import of the scriptures will be revealed. It is stated in the Vedas, Sweta Saptara Upanishad 6:23. Right? Hear from him very submissively and render service. So it means you apply what you've heard. Right? The real quote. So this is from Sweta Saptara. Yeah, Sweta Saptara. The real import of the scriptures is revealed to one who has unflinching faith in both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master. Right? The real import. End quote. Srila Narottam Das Thakur advises Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Hridaye Kariya Aikya. The meaning of this instruction is that one must consider the instructions of the sadhu, the revealed scriptures, and the spiritual master in order to understand the real purpose of spiritual life. Neither a sadhu, saintly person, or Vaishnava, nor a bona fide spiritual master says anything which is beyond the scope of the sanction of the revealed scriptures. Thus, the statements of the revealed scriptures correspond to those of the bona fide spiritual master and saintly persons. One must therefore act with reference to these three important sources of understanding. So it always has to be in that context. Because otherwise, if we take it outside of that, then we miss the whole point. You know, we'll end up, you know, like these upper sampradayas.
the statement similar to where we left off in Bhagavat Sandarbha, not today, but the previous session, and we actually started on it today, was about it all has to go back to the scripture, all of them. So
yes, even yes.
Sadhu and Guru, it's all Shastra anyway.
Yes, yes. So what they're saying, it means it's according to Shastra. And we'll see when it comes up. Now we're on the, was it fourth or fifth point? No, third or fourth of Krishna, the qualities.
Right.
The 20th point will be he always acts according to scripture. So you can't have something that's not scripture and then that'll be pleasing to Krishna because he follows it.
Yeah.
Right? The scripture comes from him and then everything comes from the scripture. And then Krishna comes and takes his role as a human being within that context that's established by scripture. So why would going against the scripture please Krishna? So,
this is what the Apatsamparaya is trying to do.
It's that they have their own idea. You know, it's like Sahajis, they make it cheap. Shaki Bakis, and, you know, all of them. You can class them all as Sahajis. You know, that there's something wrong there, you know, like that. But at the same time, is that they're all the Apasampradayas, that they're trying to do something. They're trying to cut corners and just say, you know, it's just the Bab, or, oh, no, without these rules, it's not actually, you know, proper Vaishnav, or, you know, so the Smartas and the Jat Gosais and that, they'll say like that. Because their claim to fame is following these different regulations from their Brahmin background. So they'll say no one else is there, so only they're the real ones. So they're the actual gurus. So all Vaishnavs should follow them. You know, so they're going to, there's some purpose to this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They all belong to Bengal.
Sorry?
All these Upper Sampradayas belong to Bengal.
Yeah, they all are here in Bengal. This doesn't mean there can't be other places also. But, you know, yeah, but Bengal is. Yeah, because these are all ones that will identify within the Gaudiya line. Means this group. There may be others, the smartest elsewhere, who don't identify that way. One who is not taught by a bona fide spiritual master cannot understand the Vedic literature. To emphasize this point, Lord Krishna, while instructing Arjuna, clearly said that it was because Arjuna was his devotee and confidential friend that he could understand. We already read all this. It's amazing how we discussed it. Now you go back and it's like it's new. So you say, wow, okay, cool. Because like, this whole thing is, one who is not taught cannot understand. It's an absolute principle. It's not that, well, maybe, you know, why are you saying, what if he, you know. No, it's just that's the way it is. While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatan Goswami, both Chandrasekhara and Tapan Mishra became very unhappy. Therefore, they submitted an appeal unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Quote, how long can we tolerate the blasphemy by your critics against your conduct? We should give up our lives rather than hear such blasphemy. Srila Prabhupada. It's either a butterfly or a really, really small bat.
It's a butterfly.
Huh? It's a butterfly. It's a butterfly. I'm just thinking the mosquitoes. It'd be definitely the time to come out. Srila Prabhupada. One of the most important instructions by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regarding regular Vaishnava behavior said a Vaishnava should be tolerant like a tree and submissive like grass. Trinad api sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. End quote. Nevertheless, the author of these instructions, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, did not tolerate the misbehavior of Jagai and Madhai when they harmed Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He immediately became angry and wanted to kill them, and it was only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that they were saved. One should be very meek and humble in his personal transactions. and if insulted, a Vaishnav should be tolerant and not angry. But if there is blasphemy against one's guru or another Vaishnav, one should be as angry as fire. This was exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One should not tolerate blasphemy against a Vaishnav, but should immediately take one of three actions. If one blasphemes a Vaishnava, one should stop it with arguments and higher reason. If one is not expert enough to do this, he should give up his life on the spot. And if he cannot do this, he must go away. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Banaras at Kashi, the Mayavadi sannyasis blasphemed him in many ways, because although he was a sannyasi, he was indulging in chanting and dancing. Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar heard this criticism, and it was intolerable for them because they were great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. They could not stop it, however, and therefore they appealed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because this blasphemy was so intolerable that they had decided to give up their lives. So they couldn't defeat them in argument. Right? And so then, you know, and so they're still hearing these things, and so then this is their idea. Yes?
Somewhere, I don't know, I think maybe there in CC also, Tapan Mishra is called the Kanishta devotee. From this,
but a pure devotee.
Yeah.
Just Kanista means, because it's like a Kanista doesn't know so much cannot discuss so much or argue so much the points of the scriptures. The Madhyama can argue, but generally he'll do all right, but occasionally he can't give an answer, but it doesn't affect his faith. And then the Uttama, they can always defeat others in argument, right? Because they know Krishna, so they know the Absolute, and they can tell what's not Krishna, and so they can easily defeat it. You know, so it's not that, oh, he knows logic so well, it's just you know Krishna. Does that make sense? Like that. So, yeah. You know, it'd be just like this. Let us say someone knows cooking very well, but they didn't go through a formal study. But someone did a formal study of cooking, but only from the point of studying the recipes and the techniques and all that. So such people will like to discuss all kinds of, you know, more unique elements rather than just basic stuff. And so now if you have an argument between such a, you know, how you say, recipe body, you know, and an actual cook, then there's nothing that the recipe body could say that the cook doesn't know, because he knows cooking. But he may not know all the technical points that the other guy knows, you know, and all the, oh, but in this recipe book, you know, on page 57, you know, it's just, he doesn't know that. But any technique he comes up with, he can deal with. So that's the whole point, is even they don't, they go. So in here, it's because here it's that, They're not interested. They're just associates of Lord Chaitanya. These are eternal associates. So they're not interested in getting into the whole logic thing and getting into the arguments with these guys. You know, they have much better things to do. Does that make sense? So from that way, you see is that not wanting to deal in argumentation, and that so therefore classifying himself in that way, then it would be a Kanista. From that angle, but you see, as his faith is not shaken, so you can understand his higher position. Okay, Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra continue. The Mayavadi sannyasis are all criticizing your holiness. We cannot tolerate hearing such criticism, for this blasphemy breaks our hearts. Srila Prabhupada. This is a manifestation of real love for Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are three categories of Vaishnavas: Kanishta Adhikaris, Madhyama Adhikaris, and Uttama Adhikaris. The Kanishta Adhikari, or the devotee on the lowest stage of Vaishnava life, has firm faith but is not familiar with the conclusions of the Shastras. The devotee in the second stage, the Madhyama Adhikari, is completely aware of the Shastra conclusion and has firm faith in his guru and the Lord. He, therefore, avoiding non-devotees, preaches to the innocent. However, the Mahabhagavat or Uttamadhikari, the devotee on the highest stage of devotional life, does not see anyone as being against the Vaishnava principles, for he regards everyone as a Vaishnava but himself. This is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions that one should be more tolerant than a tree and think oneself lower than the straw on the street. Trinadapi suni chena toror iva sahishnuna. However, even if a devotee is in the Uttama Bhagavat status, he must come down to the second status of life, Madhyama Adhikari, to be a preacher. Because the first one, if they're all devotees, you're not going to preach to them. For a preacher should not tolerate blasphemy against other Vaishnavas. Another Vaishnava. Although a Kanishtha Adhikari also cannot tolerate such blasphemy, he is not competent to stop it by citing Shastric evidences. Therefore, Tapa Misra and Chandrasekhara are understood to be Kanishtha Adhikaris because they could not refute the arguments of the sannyasis and minaris. They appealed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take action, for they felt that they could not tolerate such criticism, although they also could not stop it. And, yes.
Also, there is that social etiquette also, in fact. They as grihasthas cannot go and march into the sannyas.
Oh, yeah.
This also shows how high the status of a Kanishtha Adhikari actually is. They have such firm faith. Seriously. Because Tapan Mishra, when he met Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to go back with him to Bengal. Right. He said, no, you go live in Benares. So now he's surrounded by people preaching Mayavad philosophy, right. But his faith was still so strong that he was never swayed by it.
Yeah.
So if that's a Kanishtha Adhikari, then I'm not sure what I am.
Kanishtha Ba. Yeah, so it's just that's the standard.
Yeah.
So it's showing is that that's why you can be a Kanishtha and be a pure devotee.
Yeah.
So it's not a problem. But generally, you know, you're talking about you start off and then you move up through, but there's always going to be these various elements. Yeah, so wouldn't worry about it. Potapa Misra and Chandrasekhar were thus talking with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He only smiled slightly and remained silent. At that time, a brahmana came there to meet the Lord, Srila Prabhupada. Because the blasphemy was cast against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he did not feel sorry, and therefore he was smiling. This is ideal Vaishnava behavior. One should not become angry upon hearing criticism of himself. But if other Vaishnavas are criticized, one must be prepared to act as previously suggested. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very compassionate for his pure devotees, Tapan Misra and Chandrasekhara. Therefore, by his grace, this brahmana immediately came to him. By his omnipotency, the Lord created this situation for the happiness of his devotees. The brahmana immediately fell at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requested him to accept his proposal in a joyful mood. Srila Prabhupada, the Vedic injunctions state, Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. One must approach a superior authority in humbleness. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. One cannot challenge a superior authority, but with great submission, one can submit his proposal for acceptance by the spiritual master or spiritual authorities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an ideal teacher by his personal behavior, and so also are all his disciples. Thus, this brahmana, being purified in association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, followed these principles in submitting his request to the higher authority. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then spoke as follows. My dear Lord, I have invited all the sannyasis of Banaras to my home. My desires will be fulfilled if you also accept my invitation. My dear Lord, I know that you never mix with other sannyasis, but please be merciful unto me and accept my invitation. Srila Prabhupada. An acharya, or great personality of the Vaishnava school, is very strict in his principles. But although he is as hard as a thunderbolt, sometimes he is as soft as a rose. Thus, actually, he is independent. He follows all the rules and regulations strictly, but sometimes he slackens his policy. It was known that Lord Chaitanya never mixed with the Mayavadi sannyasis, yet he conceded to the request of the Brahman, as stated in the next verse. Lord Chaitanya smiled and accepted the invitation of the Brahmana. He made this gesture to show his mercy to the Mayavadi sannyasis. The Brahmana knew that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never went to anyone else's house. Yet due to inspiration from the Lord, he earnestly requested him to accept this invitation. The next day, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of that Brahmana, he saw all the sannyasis of Benares sitting there. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the sannyasis, he immediately offered obeisances. And then he went to wash his feet. After washing his feet, he sat down by the place where he had done so. Srila Prabhupada. By offering his obeisances to the Mayavadi sannyasis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly exhibited his humbleness to everyone. Vaishnavas must not be disrespectful to anyone, to say nothing of a sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, Amanina Manadena. One should always be respectful to others, but should not demand respect for himself. A sannyasi should always walk barefoot, and therefore when he enters a temple or a society of devotees, he should first wash his feet and then sit down in the proper place. In India, it is still the prevalent custom that one put his shoes in a specified place and then enter the temple barefoot after washing his feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an ideal acharya, and those who follow in his footsteps should practice the methods of devotional life as he teaches us. After sitting on the ground, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mystic power by manifesting an effulgence as brilliant as the illumination of millions of suns. When the sannyasis saw the brilliant illumination of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their minds were attracted, and they all immediately gave up their city places and stood in respect. Srila Prabhupada. To draw the attention of common men, sometimes saintly persons, acharyas, and teachers exhibit extraordinary opulences. This is necessary to attract the attention of fools. But a saintly person should not misuse such powers for personal sense gratification, like false saints who declare themselves to be God. Even a magician can exhibit extraordinary feats that are not understandable to common men, but this does not mean that the magician is God. It is most sinful activity to attract attention by exhibiting mystic powers and then utilize this opportunity to declare oneself to be God. A real saintly person never declares himself to be God, but always places himself in a position of servant of God. For a servant of God, there is no need to exhibit mystic powers, and he does not like to do so. But on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a humble servant of God performs his activities in such a wonderful way that no common man can dare try to act like him. Yet, a saintly person never takes credit for such actions, because he knows very well that when wonderful things are done on his behalf, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, all credit goes to the master and not to the servant. Because if you're identified as a servant, you don't see it that you're doing. You're just doing on behalf of. The leader of all the Mayavadi sannyasis present was named Prakashananda Saraswati. And after standing up, he addressed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows, with great respect. Please come here. Please come here, Your Holiness. Why do you sit in that unclean place? What has caused your lamentation? Srila Prabhupada. Here's the distinction between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati. In the material world, everyone wants to introduce himself as very important and great. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced himself very humbly and meekly. The Mayavadis were sitting in an exalted position, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat in a place that was not even clean. Therefore, the Mayavadi sannyasis thought that he must have been aggrieved for some reason. And Prakashananda Saraswati inquired about the cause for his lamentation. Right, so he's just taking a humble position here, but the Mayavadis are sitting in these, you know, comfortable kind of positions. So they think he's sitting there because, you know, on a normal thing, you'd always sit in an elevated place. Right? The Lord replied, I belong to a lower order of sannyasis, therefore I do not deserve to sit with you. Srila Prabhupada. Mayavadi sannyasis are always very puffed up because of their knowledge of Sanskrit and because they belong to the Shankara Sampradaya. They are always under the impression that unless one is a Brahmin and a very good Sanskrit scholar, especially in grammar, one cannot accept the renounced order of life or become a preacher. Right, because it's all about, because that's all they have. They're only materialists. So all they have is, you know, they're renounced materialists, but that's all they have is their grammar and that knowledge and their ability to argue. They don't have any realization. So they have to be good, otherwise they can't function in the capacity they do. Mayavadi sannyasis always misinterpret all the shastras with their word jugglery and grammatical compositions. Yet Sripad Shankaracharya himself condemned such jugglery of words in the verse Prapte Sannihite Kale Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrin Karane. Dukring refers to suffixes and prefixes in Sanskrit grammar. Shankaracharya warned his disciples that if they concern themselves only with the principles of grammar, not worshipping Govinda, they were fools who would never be saved. Yet, in spite of Sripad Shankaracharya's instructions, foolish Mayavadi sannyasis are always busy juggling words on the basis of strict Sanskrit grammar. Mayavadi sannyasis are very puffed up. Right, so these are those who it's all illusion. But then they're very proud of their knowledge, their Sanskrit, you know, grammar, their ability to juggle the words like this. Mayavadi sannyasis are very puffed up if they hold the elevated title, sannyas title, Tirtha, Ashrama, or Saraswati. Even among Mayavadis, those who belong to other sampradayas and hold other titles, such as Vana, Aranya, or Bharati, are considered to be lower grade sannyasis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas from the Bharati Sampradaya. And thus, he considered himself a lower sannyasi than Prakashananda Saraswati. To remain distinct from Vaishnava sannyasis, the sannyasis of the Mayavadi school always think themselves to be situated in a very elevated spiritual order. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to teach them how to become humble and meek, accepted himself as belonging to a lower sampradaya of sannyasis. Thus he wanted to point out clearly that a sannyasi is one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge. One who is advanced in spiritual knowledge should be accepted as occupying a better position than those who lack such knowledge. Right, so they're not advanced in spiritual knowledge. They're advanced in grammar and the words and how they can deal with the words and that. But how advanced can you be in spiritual if you can't cross the viraja? Right, if all you know is that your whole knowledge is how not to be entangled in the material world, what do you know of the spiritual world? Does that make sense? Yeah, it's just like, let's say, you have all, you know, technical knowledge of how to get out of the house, but you have no idea that there's anything outside the house. So how will they understand the social and all those things like that? So that's the point, is they don't actually know spiritual. It means that the spiritual is non-material, so in that way you can say they're transcendentalists, but they don't actually understand what is transcendental, how you are transcendental. Right. Mm-hmm. The Mayavadi Sampradaya sannyasis are generally known as Vedantis, as if Vedanta were their monopoly. Right? They call themselves Vedantis. Mm-hmm. Actually, however, Vedanti refers to a person who perfectly knows Krishna, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Viraish cha sever aham eva vedyaha. By all the Vedas, it is Krishna who is to be known. The so-called Mayavadi Vedantis do not know who Krishna is. Therefore, the title of Vedanti, or knower Vedanta philosopher, is simply a pretension. Mayavadi sannyasis always think of themselves as real sannyasis and consider sannyasis of the Vaishnava order to be brahmacharis. A brahmachari is supposed to engage in the service of a sannyasi and accept him as his guru. Mayavadi sannyasis therefore declare themselves to be not only gurus, but jagat gurus. or the spiritual master of the entire world. Although, of course, they cannot even see the entire world. So that's why Prabhupada didn't like the term Jagat Guru. Even though he is Jagat Guru, and the Vaishya, he didn't like it because it's the Mayavadis, their popular term. Because on Guru Purnima, then the gurus get on elephants and then ride around, and they're the Jagat Guru and everything. So that's why Prabhupada didn't really appreciate it. It's not wrong, but he just didn't appreciate it. Srila Rupa Goswami, however, has explained that Jagat Guru properly refers to one who is the controller of his tongue, mind, words, belly, genitals, and anger. Pitivim sa shishyat. Such a Jagat Guru is completely fit to make disciples all over the world. So, technically, only Vaishnavs are Jagat Gurus. But, you know, just like they complain, they claim they're Vedantis, they're the real sannyasis, they're the real Jagat Gurus. It's just pride. 2 to false prestige, Mayavadi sannyasis, who do not have these qualifications, sometimes harass and blaspheme a Vaishnava sannyasi, who humbly engages in the service of the Lord. Prakashananda Saraswati, however, caught Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally by the hand and seated him with great respect in the midst of the assembly. Srila Prabhupada. The respectful behavior of Prakashananda Saraswati towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very much to be appreciated. Such behavior is calculated to be agyata sukriti, or pious activities that one executes unknowingly. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very tactfully gave Prakashananda Saraswati an opportunity to advance in agyata sukriti, so that in the future he might actually become a Vaishnava sannyasi. Prakashananda Saraswati then said, "I understand that your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You are a disciple of Sri Keshava Bharati, and therefore you are glorious. You belong to our Shankara Sampradaya and live in our village, Varanasi. Why then do you not associate with us? Why is it that you avoid even seeing us?" Word gets out. Not only does he not associate, he just avoids even seeing them. So he'll go to areas where they're not. Srila Prabhupada. A Vaishnava sannyasi, or a Vaishnava in the second stage of advancement in spiritual knowledge, can understand 4 principles, namely the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees, the innocent, and the jealous. And he behaves differently with each of them. He tries to increase his love for Godhead, make friendship with the devotees, preach Krishna consciousness among the innocent, but he avoids the jealous who are envious of the Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself exemplified such behavior, and this is why Prakashananda Saraswati inquired why he did not associate or even talk with them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed by example that a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement generally should not waste his time talking with Mayavadi sannyasis, because you will spend hours and you won't necessarily get it. Yeah. But when there are arguments on the basis of Shastra, a Vaishnava must come forward to talk and defeat them in philosophy. But you won't go out of your way, you won't, you know, take up something. But if something comes up, then you'll deal with it.
But now actually in the village, everybody speaking with each other.
Yes, yes. So that's why they know all these things. You know, who is this, this, that. Someone will say, oh, this, that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they learn everything, and then they notice that he's not around. Why? He's there. He knows where they are. Sannyasis. He's not, you know. So he's avoiding them, right? Right.
Without social media also, the gossip spreads around.
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole point. Yeah, gossip doesn't need social media, right?
But uses it very nicely.
Yes, yeah, it can. But at the same time, as gossip that comes by without the social media has more juice, because no one else has heard it. Yeah. You know, but so that means you get more life out of one piece of gossip. While here, you just got to, wow, I got to tell you that. Oh yeah, you already heard that. You know, so that's a.
It was posted 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. That's so 3 minutes ago. Yeah. Is that? Yeah. So it's. Yeah. So they hear everything. They have their people, because they'll talk to the Brahmins. Because they'll respect the Brahmins, and the Brahmins will respect them. They're householders. And as householders, they can find out all these things. You know, so they'll ask, who is this? And then they'll go around and find, and they'll come back and say, oh, okay.
But now, here it is said, Varanasi, like a village.
Yeah.
So, being one.
Yeah, well, I mean, even you talk in the modern context about the world village, so. Because even you have the social media, they're all talking village talk. Still, it's still a village. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veda Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.